Well, in honor of the upcoming season adored by CPAs, I ask you this question. What famous American said, "In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes"? Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin. Well, in confirming, I had to confirm the origins of this rather fatalistic assertion, and I found a new variation when I was Googling. In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death, taxes, and trash. That's probably true too. But I would add yet another somewhat more serious variation, one more certainty of life, and that is adversity. To be sure, what that adversity is and its severity, of course, varies from time to time, moment to moment, person to person. Adversity can be anything from a flat tire or a leaky faucet to stress on the job, a challenging or troubling relationship, to cancer, death of a loved one, to an addiction, depression, or despair about one's life or the world. And while it is certainly true that for the most part we can't avoid taxes, and death is, of course, inevitable, maybe, just maybe, there are some things we can do to help ourselves face the adversity that inevitably comes our way in this journey we call life. This year is the 65th anniversary of the publication of one of the earliest examples of the late 20th century postmodern cultural phenomenon called self-help or self-improvement books. And this book was written by Norman Vincent Peale, pastor of the Marble Collegiate Church in New York City, and it was titled The Power of Positive Thinking. In his book, Norman Vincent Peale made the case that much of life's adversity can be successfully confronted with the right attitude in the right frame of mind. Now, because of time constraints, I cannot present the many valid critiques that thoughtful people have made of Peale's somewhat idealistic, pie-in-the-sky, pseudo-psychological take on facing life's problems. There are some valid criticisms of his self-help methodology, but I think there are also some worthwhile takeaways. We only have to look as far as the writings of the Apostle Paul to find perhaps the inspiration of Norman Vincent Peale's methodology to prayerize, visualize, and actualize one's way through a problem in life. So friends, rather than going to a used bookstore to try to find one of the 5 million copies of The Power of Positive Thinking, I simply suggest that you take your Bible at home, go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 14, find a good bookmark, put it in there. For like Peale, the Apostle Paul is encouraging us to prayerize and prioritize our lives, to think and visualize ourselves in a better place, and then to take concrete actions of gentleness and love for ourselves and for others. And then we will surely attain moments, greater moments of peace in our lives and with God. Listen carefully.
Scripture lesson is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 14, and can be found on page 195 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me with the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have received your concern for me. You have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know that it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In any case, it was kind of you to share my distress. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Thanks be to God.
Kate.
Oh, David, what do you want?
We are under so much stress here in the office today. We have so much to do. We have a worship staff meeting. We got a conference phone call, many appointments, reminder to do, the bulletin. We've got year-end accounting to do. We've got toilets to be fixed, LED lights to be replaced. We are under so much stress, so many problems. What should we do?
Play badminton.
What?
Play badminton.
You know, that's not a bad idea. We really should prioritize our time. We really do have lots of fun playing badminton as a family, staff family.
I can visualize it right now. We're up in Schultz Hall, right? And we're running around and we're having fun and, you know, a little exercise, 20 minutes doesn't hurt. I think God would want us to have a little fun up in Schultz Hall.
I think you're right. Let's do it. Let's not sit around doing nothing. Let's actualize and let's play badminton.
I'll text the staff and tell them to meet up there in 10 minutes.
Great. When life gets tough, you should play badminton. I guess he's had enough badminton for the day. She's going down to do communion education with our church school. We're working with the deacons. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child a long way from home. Sometimes life's adversity can make us feel that lost, that alone, that discouraged. Sometimes we face obstacles, challenges, or adversity of one sort or another, from that flat tire or leaky faucet to uncertainty, despair, grief. Adversity will happen. It's guaranteed. Therefore, I think the most important question is how will we choose to face life's inevitable stresses and strains, challenges and adversities? As your First Church staff family has recently discovered, badminton can sometimes go a long way to lessen the day's stress. But we do know that it's not a cure-all, but we do have lots of fun when we do it. So the question does remain, what can we really do day in and day out when life gets tough? Despite some of its faults, Norman Vincent Peale's prayerize, visualize, and actualize methodology, like the Apostle Paul's exhortation to pray, give thanks, and to do all things through God who strengthens us, perhaps can be used by us as we each face the adversity and the challenges of our lives. So this morning I'd like to take a look at three stories in which people prayerize, visualize, and then actualize to face their own adversity and then did something for others. So who recognizes this woman? This is the actress behind the now one of the most popular television commercials, AT&T's Lily. Maybe you know her story, her background story. I did not until this week. Her real name is Milana. I hadn't known what this spunky actress had gone through to get to where she is today. Milana, who is Jewish, was born in Uzbekistan, and she was 2 years old when her family fled religious persecution in the Soviet Union. They traveled through Austria, then Italy, and ultimately here to the States. It was she, her 21-year-old mother, 27-year-old father, and they had left everything behind. They then had to figure out how to survive in places where they didn't speak the language, didn't know how long they'd be staying in each of those countries. Well, Milana and her parents eventually did make it, as I say, to the United States, to West Hollywood when she was three. And then she started acting at the age of five to help get money for the family in Mattel Barbie commercials. Well, one thing led to another as Milana found work in TV commercials and as a comedian, with her breakthrough moment being these AT&T commercials. Then unexpectedly, while on a family vacation in Greece a year and a half ago, Milana came face to face not only with her own adversity of her past, but the current adversity of Syrian refugees landing on the Greek island of Lesbos. Recalling her own experience as a toddler and a refugee stimulated Milana to begin to prayerize, visualize, and then actualize. Bottom line, she took action. She canceled her return flight home, booked a flight for the island of Lesbos, and began to volunteer. She has since released a 14-minute video called Can't Do Nothing, documenting her unexpected experience of volunteering. Her family vacation turned into a video project supporting Syrian refugees, and she continues to raise awareness about the refugee crisis and how people can share their time, money, and their voices for the cause. Milana plans to, of course, travel again. This next visit will be to a Syrian refugee camp in Jordan. She said, "I went to Greece to go on vacation. I didn't have the intention of staying and volunteering. I love volunteering, but I was kind of ignorant about the refugee situation. My vacation was turned into a journey with a purpose." In the last 24 hours, this congregation's ministry of welcoming the refugee, speaking up for the alien, and opening our doors to the stranger has all of a sudden gained an even greater purpose and meaning. Never did Henry think he'd spend the last 2 years of his childhood in prison for murders he didn't commit. It was in 2008. Henry was just a normal 15-year-old boy growing up in one of Uganda's largest cities. On Sundays, Henry and his family would go to church, And it was there that he built the strong faith that he would need to get through the worst ordeal of his life. On Mondays, Henry and his two younger brothers would, of course, go to school. Henry was ranked first in his class, and he had dreams of going to university, something neither of his parents ever did. But then one day, in a bizarre set of circumstances, Henry and his entire family were rounded up by police and charged with a murder. Though he was shocked that they were all being accused of a crime that they didn't commit, he said, "I never reacted negatively. When I was taken to the police captain, I expected to be released in 3 days. Every day in prison, I was praying and asking for one thing, for God to help me out." As day after day went by, Henry waited, but then he took on the role of caregiver and leader of the other juvenile detainees. He became an advocate for their medical care when he found the doctors were unresponsive and uncaring of these juveniles. Henry said, "I told God, if I am released, I will become a doctor and I will make a difference." Well, the months went by, a year went by, on into a second year. Mom used to tell me always, "Don't give up, Henry. With prayers, keep your faith strong. Nothing lasts forever except one's faith in God." And Mom was right. Henry continued to fast and pray that God would deliver him and his brothers from their nightmare. Finally, three lawyers from the United States, sent by a church community after hearing of Henry's plight, traveled to Uganda to mount a legal defense to free him. It's hard to believe the conditions I went through. I can't imagine going through the suffering I went through again, but I'm still willing to go back to the prison to give a measure of hope to the prisoners that after every suffering, God is with you every step of the way. Henry never forgot his promise to God. He went back to his studies, determined more than ever to be a doctor. Despite every setback, Henry kept his faith. And now at age 23, he is studying to be a medical doctor at Kampala International University. He will graduate in 2020. And finally, how on earth do you prayerize, visualize, and actualize your way through the unimaginable adversity of learning that your 6-year-old daughter has been gunned down in a horrific attack at an elementary school? Well, that's what the parents of Catherine Violet Hubbard have had to do since their beloved Spitfire of a daughter was killed in Newtown, Connecticut on December 14th, 2012. Catherine was apparently a miniature Dr. Doolittle. She came alive with love and kindness for every living thing. How many hours did Catherine spend in the backyard patiently training their 3-year-old yellow lab mix to jump over a stick, hugging her, picking her up, though she weighed about twice as much as Catherine? And she had a thing for all sorts of critters, her pet bunny, for fish, crabs, crickets in the yard on a lazy summer night, and even earthworms. Catherine's father, Matt, looked over his wife's shoulder while she was writing the obituary. "Looks good," he said. "We need some kind of memorial," she said. "People are going to want to send donations." Matt thought for a moment. "What about the animal shelter? What's it called?" A friend did a quick search on the iPhone. "It's called the Animal Center. Here's the address." Mom Jenny typed it into the form in lieu of flowers. Weeks after Catherine's death, one afternoon, Matt said, "I'm going to drive out to that animal shelter. We should tell them about Catherine's memorial." Well, Matt drove out to the address they had put in the obituary, but it wasn't a shelter, it was somebody's house. So Jenny called the phone number for the center, and a woman answered. She sounded kind. "We're animal rescue volunteers," the woman said. "We don't have a building or anything like that. We've been wanting to call you, but felt we should, you know, wait a bit. I think it would be best if we met in person." A few days later, two unassuming women came to the house. They almost looked embarrassed. "Can we ask how much in donations you've received?" Jenny and Matt asked. "About $175,000, one of the women said. "The donations are coming in from all over the country, all over the world, and they keep coming." "What are your plans?" Jenny asked. "Well," the woman said, "we've always dreamed of starting a wildlife sanctuary, a place where both animals and people could find healing. It would be calm and serene, peaceful. There would be walking paths and places to sit, and there'd be opportunities for people to work with the animals." "Catherine would love that," her mom said. Within 6 months after the murder of 26 children and adults at Sandy Hook Elementary, the Catherine Violet Hubbard Animal Sanctuary became a reality. "I don't know why our Catherine died," Jenny said. "The greatest comfort, the only comfort, was knowing that she is in the safest place of all, in heaven, with no hate and no bullets, only love and life eternal." Adversity. Adversity is a reality. It is a reality in each of our lives. It is a reality in our world. And to be sure, facing that reality is sometimes easier said than done. But each and every day, our God calls us to prayerize, visualize, and actualize so that our world will no longer live with hate and bullets, but only love and life eternal.